What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello,
Devin. Welcome back. We missed last week. We're back again. We had a plan for a guest, but that had to be pushed. So we have another guest coming. Although we had a guest last week, which was cool. Patty, was super fun to chat with her, and I got some good feedback from people like reaching out on Instagram and stuff and talking about. One of the guys who reached out was Ed. From his Instagram is Ed Clocks and More. You know Ed from Maker Camp?
Yeah, I do know Ed.
Yeah, he reached out and said he was like, you know, podcast was awesome. So much fun to listen to Patty. He was like, I didn't realize you guys had a podcast. Now I have something to listen to. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, whoa. He like texted back again. He's like, I have a lot to listen to. Like, yeah, 232 episodes. So
Ed, we could, hi Ed. I just saw him not too long ago. He actually went up with Scott and I to go meet Brandon Novak.
Oh, right on.
Because nice. Scott did the table build for Brandon Novak's rehab center in Delaware. Mm-hmm. So Ed had come over to the paper mill and helped Scott with some of the, because it was like this weird layered table. So yes, I have seen him recently. And
nice. Cool. Hey, Ed. Yeah. It was fun. I forget, last Maker Camp, not this past one in October, but the one in 2024, he made a ukulele for his Maker swap.
Really?
And before he turned it in, I was like trying to tune it for him. Because I like, you know, I don't really know much about ukulele, but I do know the tuning, you know, so I was like tuning it and then playing a little bit, and then it was fun. And I remember him like chatting with Corinne. Corinne apparently had a good conversation too with this one, which is cool.
Oh, jeez.
All right.
I'm good. I have this scab on my hand. I just cut it.
Exciting.
Re-broke it open. Exciting stuff here on the...
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just bleeding as well.
Okay.
I think I'll be all right.
Before we read your quote for the evening. Bleed a little bit.
Every man is sociable until a cow invades his garden.
that's funny. That's weird.
Funny and
that's
true.
A weird quote. Yeah. Every man is sociable, but that's like that's not antisocial. It's like,
well, sure it is. It's you're friendly and reaching out to people and talking to people and sociable, and then something happens where you are totally involved in something going wrong with your. You know what I mean? It's like,
right?
You're not talking to anyone. You're not dealing, and you're also pissed at whoever's cowed it. You know, it's like,
right?
I was just looking through Irish sayings because St. Paddy's is coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, we should try to. I'm sure you probably have something planned. You always are like, oh, we're gonna make. Yeah. We're gonna pick cabbage on St. Paddy's Day morning, and then we're gonna go stew it, and then.
No, we always do like some type of St. Patrick's Day, like get together and cooking with friends. You know,
I know. I'd like done to. It for a bunch I'd like of to years, go to a pub. Actually, I'll bring that up soon. Awesome Irish pub we went to last week.
Ah, cool.
But yeah, that's an Irish saying. It makes sense. Everyone's friendly until something's going on, and then. Maybe you're not.
And they're
so
on their own thing. Yeah, you know. I like that. I like that. It's a funny sentiment, but you know, it's also like, of course, you can't be friendly when you have to deal with random shit that's happening. You have to deal with it. That's like part.
Just telling you, like, hey, it's the old thing. You don't know it, and you don't know what people are going through.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, I guess you would if a cow was in their garden. You wouldn't. But
I guess when you look at it that way, I actually really like it in that perspective. Is like, mm-hmm. everyone seems like nice people, until they're not nice, but you don't know why, right? It's like, oh, he's so antisocial, but little do you know there's a cow in his garden, you know, like, yeah.
That's his wife good. Just called him and said there's a cow that invaded his garden, broke everything they've been working on all year, and is eating stuff.
And he's all pissed off now.
Don't know whose cow it is. Got to find the cow.
Pushed right by me and didn't even say hi. What a jerk.
I got a cow in the garden, asshole.
I may have mentioned this in the podcast in the past, but when I first started working in schools and started teaching, I went to a professional development. I forget exactly what it was for, but there was a guy there that was leading it, and he quoted from a book, and the book was about, you know, it was about like understanding students and perspective and how you like how you deal with students and, you know, deal with whatever, like, you know, behavior and stuff. And the whole point of the book was like understanding the student's perspective or giving them the benefit of the doubt. And it was like, you know, you don't know why a student is acting the way they are. Like, so, cause you know, maybe they're in your classroom and they're like got their head down and they're not paying attention. And like, you're all angry cause you like want them to pay attention and whatnot. And you just think they're being disobedient and they're not listening to you. But like, little do you know, maybe they like, you know, maybe their mom works the night, so they have to watch their siblings, and their younger sibling was up all night throwing up. So they were taking care of them. So then they came to school, but now they're like tired. And you then, know, so it's like giving after, that perspective. Yeah.
And then after all that, they're just, maybe aren't interested in what you are teaching, no matter how you
right.
teach it.
Yeah, right.
You know
yeah,
I mean, exactly. It could all come, then eventually, you know, then, yeah, I had a bad night, and this is boring as shit. Like, what do you,
right.
I hate this.
Yeah.
I hate being in this class.
Right. In this moment, you know, it's yeah, like.
Right. And, it, you know.
Yeah, I think the book is called something like If She Only Knew or something, right? So it's like, it's just understanding that you don't know everyone else's situation, so you should, like, you know, don't assume that everything that's happening to you is because of you, right? Like, right. It might be, you know, whatever, or like that, you know, don't take offense.
Sometimes so. There's a cow in the garden at home.
Exactly. I like it.
There we are.
So here we are.
Going back, funny thing about Ed that I learned.
Yep.
He is in a famous movie that was shot nearby. Can you guess what that would be?
Crybaby.
No.
The
there's only so many, but it's
the movie with Nicole Kidman. No.
I don't know what that is,
but I don't know.
Yeah, it's a famous low budget movie.
Oh, Blair Witch Project.
Blair Witch Project.
Holy crap. Is he like one of the people they interview?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, I can like see him now. Whoa, crazy.
You're like, that's where his face is familiar.
Oh, so crazy. Yeah,
that's nuts. One of the fishermen.
Oh, yeah.
They interview two fishermen in there, and he says, I forget what his line was, but he, like, talks for a minute and then says something.
That's so funny. Yeah. Did he talk to you at all about it? Like,
yeah. Well, I don't know. We're all We actually all drove in Scott's truck together, so we were just waiting to leave, and we were packing up the table and all this, and then I don't know how it came. Maybe Scott brought it up, but he was like, yeah, I did the... I was like, you were in a Blair Witch? I was like, what? Yeah, and I couldn't remember it. I haven't seen it since, like, it came out.
I've seen it not too long.
You know, it was one of those things. It was just a low-budget film.
Yeah.
No money in it. I mean, it was just people with regular camcorders and...
Right, but so like...
I don't know exactly how he got pulled into it. It was just someone, and then somebody, hey, can you do this? And, you know, it's just one day of
shooting. And he talked it all, like, so in the movie, right? So if people have not seen the movie, the premise is that there's this, like, this legend of the Blair Witch and, you know, whatever. There's that, and then there's a group of three, like... university age student like filmmakers, and they're doing this like documentary, and so they drive out to, you know, Western Maryland, and they go out in the woods and they're shooting and they're reading from stuff, and then they also interview people in the town of Burkittsville, which is Blair, Maryland. So the idea is that all the interviews are real people. You know, it's like actual interviews. Mm-hmm. And then they go through the woods and it's all this like point of view, like real, you know, handheld camera footage, and they like they get lost in the woods and all this crazy stuff is happening, and then they're, you know, they find this cabin and whatnot. But sprinkled in throughout that stuff is all these interviews with the different people. And that's funny. Yeah, there's like two fishermen down by river and they're interviewing them about the Blair Witch. And they talk about like seeing the Blair Witch or seeing something, or maybe they knew about like, what's it called? Something rock, where apparently like some kids or people were murdered or something.
Yeah, I think Ed says something. He might say something like bullshit or something. Like he's like, ass. Like, I forget one.
Yeah.
Which is funny. When that movie came out, I remember the good thing about barely having internet or that type of thing was you just didn't know. You had nowhere to like look.
Right. That the idea was that it was real.
Yeah, the idea like, was my friend, footage. I forget, one of the friends got their hands on a tape. Mm-hmm. And like that's how we saw it. Like, and I don't even know, it might have been a blank tape. Which made it even better, awesome. Which was like, I'm sure the copies went around, you know, of just copied versions of the movie. But I'm pretty sure it was like on a blank VHS, and we watched it. It scared the shit out of us.
That's awesome. Yeah. I do. I really like the idea of that movie, you know, like the whole idea that you, the way you're advertising it is that it's a real thing. Right. And it's just like, you know, this footage has been put together based off of like what we found in this camera. And, you know, and it's this like actual real footage of these people who got like lost in the woods and then have the encounter with whatever is out in the woods.
Yeah, right.
Great. And what a great like way to promote a movie, you know? Right. I think the three actors did a good job. You know,
yeah, like, I mean, it was obviously good enough because everyone watched it and liked it. And,
yeah, it was very believable that it was real. You know, like, you know, some of the interviews and stuff were, they were the one, that's where you like, seems a little fake. You know, it seems a little put on. Yeah. But I will say that, like, the part that Ed played with the fishermen's, that seemed like okay. You know, like, somewhat believable. You know, right. It's like two, like, you know, kind of, you know, country fisherman guys just like there talking like they would, you know, be like, oh yeah, I remember that story, da, da, da. And the other dude's like, ah, it's bullshit, like come on, like,
yeah,
you know, right. It seemed like believable. That's crazy. Nice. Cool. Well, there you go. And so like it's funny, as soon as you said it, I could see like his face like in the movie, like boom. I couldn't place specific one in them, but I remember seeing like him talking to the camera. So I was like, whoa, crazy. I was like, blowing my mind. I could see it all of a sudden. Yeah. Cool. Right on. So is he a Western Maryland guy? Does he live out that way? Do you know? Devin? Hello? Did I lose you? I can't hear you if you can hear me. Nope. We're going to hang on a second, folks. Oh, he's back. Maybe?
Ooh, hello?
Oh, there he is. All right.
Sorry about that. I was adjusting the image in my window.
Yep.
Like trying to make the image that I was looking at bigger, and it exited out everything. So.
Oh, exciting. Well, that was not bad. I was just like, hello? Hello, Devin? I was like, did I lose? And then you're back.
So, what was your question?
I don't know. I think that was it. I think we were finishing up. So things that I've been working on in the shop. Well, let's see. So we have, let's go back to the St. Patrick's Day coming up. Mm. So you were saying you had gone to an Irish thing recently. Yeah. So what was that?
So I think I told the story in the podcast. My buddy Guy, we were bike riding. We found an Irish pub. Mm-hmm. And I tell you that where we went and it was nice. It was last summer. So we're sitting outside and, you know, sometimes we'll just go, hey, you run in and grab a couple drinks. I'm going to sit out here and be with the bikes or whatever. So my buddy Guy runs in Comes out with a couple beers. I'm like, oh, how was it in there? You know, cool. It's like a nice little Irish pub. It's pretty lame. Like, and his kind of guide of, you know, I don't know. He has some, like, middle river version of what a bar might should be. You know, like, you know, kind of like, oh, it didn't even have any big TVs in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right, right.
I'm like, well, I know, but it's like an Irish pub. Does it look pubby? He's like, yeah, I don't know. And I went back in to go to the bathroom or something.
Yeah.
And it was, like, beautiful. You know, all rich woods, kind of dark, like, yeah, little nooks and crannies you could kind of sit in. Like, you know, like an Irish pub. They've got, yeah, all these, right, little, like, booths and, mm-hmm, you know, beautiful wood. And it's that, leather, you know, it's a, yeah, a perfect, right, Irish pub. Exactly what this one was.
It was kind of,
I'm like, what do we should have gone in? There was, like, lively in there. Like, it felt great when you went in. So last weekend, I'm like, all right, we're going that trail again. And we're going to go to that pub. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go in. You know, it's kind of cool out now. So yeah, we went in and had a great time.
Nice.
It was awesome. It's such a nice little Irish pub. I would.
Is that the bike trail that's, like, along the Potomac or whatever? The, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called McCleary's.
McCleary's, okay.
So it's right off the trail. So you get a lot of bikers and regular people. And it was Saturday, so.
Nice.
People were starting to come in for early dinner. I don't know. When we were there at, like, 3 o'clock, so maybe not. Right. But it was perfect.
Oh, Saturday was a beautiful day, too. So nice out. It was like 60 degrees out or something. Like,
oh man. So anyway, I got to see that great Irish pub, and it really made me want to go on St. Paddy's Day to a pub. But we really don't have many options right here. And even when I search it, it literally is like McCleary's, which is east of York.
Yep.
Then you got to go south to Annpotentstill.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is also nice. Which, yeah, I've been there many times. So the few times I've been there, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
a good one. And then there's one, like, over towards Westminster. And that's it.
Hmm. Yeah. You
know, for, like, Irish pub.
Yeah, I mean, and if you go down in Baltimore. There's one in Baltimore. There's Mick O'Shea's. There's
the one downtown.
Right at the bottom of President Street. There's that one. I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember that one.
We used to go down there. That was a cool spot.
Yeah. There was another one, like, over in, the Federal Hill, Locus Point area,
yeah,
that Steve and I used to go to. And they always had, like, multiple nights a week that have, like, live Irish music. Yeah, but it was, like, Irish music jams, so people could just bring their instruments, and then, like, and they would play all the, like, apparently, like, typical Irish tunes, right? So everyone kind of knew it. Like, if you played Irish music, you knew this, like, you know, breadth of, like, say 25 or 30, like, typical tunes that they play all the time. Right. So you could just join in, like, just start playing along with it, and, you know, everyone would play, and yeah, it was awesome. And St. Patrick's Day, they would have, like, at the bar, they would just have, you know, like Guinness and like harp and something else. Like, they would just bring in, like, you know, kegs of that, and that would be it. And then it would just be like tons of people there, just, you know, with like three different types of beer could get or whatever.
It is like a emergence from winter.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always loved going out for it, because it's a little bit warmer.
Right.
Spring's here. St. Paddy's is here. Like, is everyone getting back outside and back out into the world? Mm-hmm. It's really great. So, I don't know. I might try to find somewhere.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday night, so.
I know. It's tough, but.
But, hey, I mean, if you want to go somewhere, I'm
I don't
I'm
think down. I work Wednesday. Let's do it. I don't think I work Wednesday, so I'm all right, personally.
Oh, I definitely work Wednesday, but I'm happy to go out on St. Patrick's Day, because we'll do food and stuff on. I think we're doing it Sunday, the weekend before, because the weekend after, I'm actually going down to Virginia near, like, Jamestown, where there's a big event, reenactor event called Military Through the Ages. So it's actually like a huge event where there's a lot of different reenactment groups that do military stuff all through the ages. So it's like anywhere from, you know, like us, like Vikings, to like Romans, and then up through, you know, 18th century and Civil War. It's the weekend after that. So it's March 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
Man, we got to do some.
Sorry. On this yeah, March. Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be down there doing that for the weekend. We'll drive down on Friday, and then we'll be, the event is Saturday and Sunday.
I think that's a really maybe not untapped, but not a lot of people do that.
Right. Yeah.
I know it's hard for you to be there and be making videos because that goes against what you're doing.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But you could set up the DJI somewhere and then talk to it every once in a while, you know, a
little bit of your
right to it, and then show some things. Like, just take an hour out of the trip to like walk around and talk to the people or show what they're doing, and then, you know, you put it away and you're good for them.
Yeah, and I did that at VikingsCon like 2 years ago. I think I did that with all the, like, and I had all the footage and stuff on the DJI because I was like when we first got it. So, but you never did anything with it. I remember that. Yeah, I had it all. Like, I recorded a bunch of stuff with VikingsCon. I kind of, like, shot our camp and stuff. But I'll bring it again. I mean, I have it, so I'll bring it and get footage, and I'll chat, you know, a little bit with it. Maybe I'll talk a little bit about the camp and stuff and just try to get a bunch of footage just put together. We could put together a quick video.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Cool.
But I've been building. So, like, you know, obviously, whenever an event's coming up, we're always, like,
hang on.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So, you're down for St. Patty's if we try to find somewhere?
Yes.
I know there's definitely a couple of nice breweries around here where we don't have to go all the way to McCleary's or all the way down to Baltimore City.
Right.
I guess we could do Timonium if we wanted, but I'm sure that place will be absolutely slammed.
Yeah, I've done that before on St. Patrick's Day. I think Nicole and I and Drew and Steph went 1 year, and it was fine. You know, it was lively, but it wasn't, like, crazy. You know, we went and everyone was, you know, jolly and drinking and eating stuff, so it was kind of fun.
I'll do some research. I mean, I wish we could all bike ride to McClear's because it's a fun bike ride. And then you're there, and then you get to have a few, and then bike ride back. You know, it's great. It's such a blast.
Yeah, sounds cool. I would like to do that.
Found another one. Not a pub, but a really nice basement bar.
Right.
And the guy and I went to that one too.
On the path.
On the path. It was awesome.
We should just do pub crawls on like
e-bike paths. That's kind of what it is. That's kind of what Guy and I end up doing. And it's, we joke that we park at the trail and then you bike ride 100 yards to the bar and then we park our bikes and then stay there and then and back to the car. It's like, good trip.
Good trip. Yeah, right.
No, it's like the McCleary's and that town. From where we park is like 4 or 5 miles.
Oh, nice.
I mean, on the e-bikes, it's quick. You know, you're there in 20 minutes, I would say, or half an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're there in no time, but it's a little bit of a bike ride, and then you're in this cute little town. And
You could drive right there and just go to the bar, but, you know. But the point is to go out biking. You know,
we do want to go biking. But
there's
a couple of dudes which is like, hey, we'll swing in, grab a beer. Right? And now it's kind of a thing to look for places. Like, and we have nothing else to do other than bike and drive through the town. So we see somewhere like, oh, let's pop in. Look in real quick, see if it's worth it. Then.
Well, it's like what we did when we did our ride from, you know, Maryland up to PA on the what's it called? The hike and bike trail or the what is that? What's it officially called? I forget. There's like a name, but
like the top part of it's a Torrey Brown or NCR.
Right, NCR. Yeah, which is like, And that's kind of cool because we hit like 4 bars or something on the way up, or 3 bars or something.
Guy and I were talking about trying to do it, but the other one, it's only 25 miles. So you can, you can almost, but maybe we are slower. Maybe we stop for a couple drinks.
Exactly. You know, it's like you just figure out how far you want to go.
We go to the end and come back to the middle and stay somewhere, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Or make it a full, like, you know, whatever, like a 2 day, you know, go out.
Yeah.
To the end camp and then come back to 25 miles the next day or whatever.
And But it's all paved, and it's mm-hmm. kind of goes through a couple towns. It's really nice.
Nice, right on.
But anyway, so all right, well, yeah. we'll try to plan something for Saint Patty's.
Yeah, maybe. I know we always like to do a Saint Patty's Four Brothers, but I'm not going to be around that next weekend, and I guess I'm not really busy the weekend before. Just Sunday night or Sundays. That's what we're doing, like dinner. I don't know. Maybe we can think about doing a Four Brothers podcast St. Patrick's Day. Okay. It's a good classic tradition here in the O'Hara family.
Or just see if we can get the Four Brothers out for.
Yeah. If nothing person. Else, that. Yeah, right. Go out. Record it. Go out on Tuesday night and then record like a podcast while we're at the bar. It would be kind of fun, actually.
You'd be allowed to go for 5 hours.
And yeah, right. And with.
A fight.
I guess that like we could do the you know, we'd have to put on like everyone have like the DJI mics or whatever, and right. you're just talking, so it's not actually like no headphones on or whatever, like what we did on the way down to Blade Show.
Yeah,
record it that way.
You
could. Yeah, something to think about. That'd be kind of fun. We'll reach out to the guys, see if everybody's available. We did. Oh, I guess we shot it or we recorded it in my shop last time. Which was, what was that? Was that New Year's? Something recently. Yeah. It must have been New Year's or whatever, right around then, or Christmas or something. I forget. But yeah, no, that was fun. Maybe we could do it again.
Yeah, or if not. But I think there's, did you ever go to Inverness?
Yeah, I love Inverness, man.
Okay, there's Inverness near me, and there's yeah. Big Truck Brewing.
Yeah.
Both. Two places I haven't been that both look really kind of really nice.
Oh, you've never been to Inverness? Mm-mm. Oh, that's awesome. Inverness is great. Yeah. I've been to Inverness a lot, probably at least like a dozen times. Yeah.
Well, thanks for the invite.
Well, it's like we would go, so we started going like before COVID, so before 2020, you know, and it's a nice place because like it's mostly outdoor seating. But then, you know, there's also like a little bit of indoor seating, but they have like two bars, or actually technically the three bars, because they have a big barn with like an upstairs bar and a downstairs bar. And then they have what they call the stable barn. So like there's a whole nother building that has the stables and stuff. And then there's bars over there. And then big like fields and stuff. So we would go, you know, it would be like, the Porters and the Greens and my family, you know, cause it's like kids could be there and they could run around and stuff and play games. And then during COVID we would go because it was outdoors. So we would like, we'd all go and you could go in and wear your mask to walk in and grab a beer. And then you go out and we would just like big, you know, we'd do like a big circle of chairs and everyone just kind of keeps a little bit of distance, but you know, you take off your masks and drink and the kids can play and stuff. And
yeah.
And then when our friends, the Greens, had their 20th wedding anniversary, they were actually going to have a big party at Inverness. It was just like invite a bunch of people and they were, you know, just get a bunch of drinks and stuff. And then for one reason or another, it got postponed. And so they were going to do it later. But then they moved to North Carolina. So, but I always wanted to do a party there where you just like invite a bunch of people and have, it's like, you know, just a big party because there's tons of room outside for people.
Maybe we do a St. Patrick's Day party with everyone else.
I like it. Yeah. So is Inverness open now? Like,
yeah, they're open all year.
Okay, cool. Yeah. But it's great. I mean, if the weather's nice, you know, it'd be perfect. I love it.
I actually never heard of it until just recently. Another thing, Scott was asked by someone local to make mm-hmm. an outdoor sign for a tree because there was a guy who would drive his golf cart and park there.
Oh.
And it was like Phil's tree. And like everyone knew this is where he parked his golf cart. And then he got sick and passed away. But before he passed away, they wanted to make this sign for him and put it, you know, on the tree. And I guess we didn't really know how sick he was, but they said it was pretty bad and they want to do something for him, you know?
Right, right.
So, Scott's got all the CNC machines, so he worked up something and got a nice piece of wood and, you know,
yeah.
I think, like, wrote on it, there's always time for a beer with good friends, and has, like, a tree in his name. Like,
nice. Yeah.
So, I don't know if they have it up or not. And I actually want to go over there anyway to get B-roll footage of it.
Right,
Because we made a video for it of Scott making that sign on the Crafty Studio YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But we never got any footage of it being hung up because the guy passed away and they haven't had time to put it up.
So. Right, right.
So I'd like to see that, but you know, it doesn't really matter. If I did go down, I'd try to get some footage of it, even if it's on St. Patty's. But
yeah, that'd be great. No, I'd be awesome. I'd be down for it. And the nice thing about that too is, like, depending on what you want to do, it's like a very family friendly place, you know.
So well, I would probably go down after everyone went.
Kids
to bed.
Go to bed. Yeah,
it would just be me.
Yeah,
me and whoever. I think it would just be that type of thing. Around 7 o'clock, I'll go out somewhere, and anybody want to come, you know, I'll get Guy to go and you, and then we can see who else wants to go.
Heck yeah, let's do it, man! I love Inverness; it's awesome.
It's been a long time since I've been out on St. Patrick's Day, and I always feel a little longing to be out with people on St.
Patrick's. Yeah, there's definitely something like something you know, nostalgic and interesting and fun about going out specifically on St. Patrick's Day, like in, you know, in the States. And I'm sure it's like now that's obviously like, you know, they say that like St. Patrick's Day is celebrated more heavily in the United States than it is in Ireland. Right. Because we're always like, oh, it's great, you know, a reason to go out and get drunk and like, you know, like, right. And like, you know, act like we're all Irish and have fun and be happy, you know? So, but, yeah, I agree. I think that's there's like something really nice about it, and we've, you know, I've done like as a family member, right? We've done a lot of family stuff, so it's always like now we're just doing smaller get-togethers, and you know, to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but we're always like drink a couple beers and have a bunch of different foods. Like we always make Scotch eggs, which is the soft boiled egg inside of sausage, like wrapped in sausage and then breaded and fried. So
yeah,
good.
Right.
Scotch eggs, classic. Yeah. So yeah. So,
all right. So maybe we'll do that or bake truck or something. I'm sure they'll have some type of event.
Yeah. Well, I will say that like I'm looking at the Inverness, calendar right now online, and on the 17th, there's nothing specific, but so there's like live music on the weekends, always on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And then, there's nothing specific on St. Patrick's Day.
I will say some of those, yeah, the brewery, sometimes they close early.
Yeah.
Like they'll close at like 8 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Hours, maybe? I can look at their hours. Let's see. 17th. Huh. But, yeah.
So you got to look at like their Facebook. Usually that stuff will have. Like,
oh, yeah. Right. If they're doing something special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, somewhere nearby or. You know, you kind of want to be out. Those places are nice. They're all, you know, barns and fields, and it's real nice to hang out and be out in the country.
Yeah, and they've done, in the past, they've done, like, they'll bring, like, a bunch of cows and stuff out to the field, and then they'll, like, bring them up to the edge of the fence, you know, so they'll, like, specifically do it for, like, the kids and the families and stuff, so you get the cows or the horses will come up and stuff. They've done that where they'll bring all the horses up, and they'll be, like, right up on the edge, so you can, like, pet them, and they'll actually allow people to, like, go, you know, go over the fence and go into the field and be around the horse and stuff, which is kind of fun. So yeah. We've got some cool pictures of Corinne from over the years, like, there, and all the kids and stuff, but cool. Yeah, I like Inverness. It's great.
All right, so Olympics was great. I know we didn't talk about it, but
oh yeah, you
know, congrats to all the Olympians.
Yeah, it's funny because I you know, I watched the game on that Sunday or whatever it was. We were all watching it, and like. It was so much fun, and like, you know, the men's hockey, they won, and you know, like I actually watched the women's hockey game as well. So the women's won, which is awesome, you know. And then the women's
was more dramatic of a, well, not, no, I won't say more dramatic, but maybe the situation was a little bit more dramatic. Other right. than they have won a lot. They are the powerhouse, right. The women's hockey team.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
They win almost every year.
Yeah, and I was like, I was expecting them to win, you know, like.
But it was actually a good game going down, and then at the end, they, you know, you had however minutes left, and that was awesome.
Yeah, right. No, it was a great, game, and like for, you know, like the women scoring or whatever at the end and tying it up, and da da da, and it was like, it was a great. It was awesome. So much fun. I was actually like, I think I was at a field trip. So I was kind of like half watching and half paying attention to the field trip. And like, and then like, and then I got back to school and I had a club. And so I was actually like not watching it, or paying attention to it when they won, but I was in the classroom when they tied it up with like 2 minutes left or something.
Yeah.
So I had looked on, because it was like, I guess what Canada scored, and then was it just, was it 1-0 up until like the last 2 minutes or something, no, and then we tied it, right? Or was, yeah, it was, or like, was it like
2-1 and then 2-2?
Yeah, because I think the women scored, and then the Canada scored, and then Canada scored again, and then they tied it up. And it was like, I was, we had gotten back to the school, and it was the last period in our school, and I actually don't have a last period class. So like my co-teacher and I were doing different stuff around the room. We were kind of cleaning up and getting ready for the next day. And we, I pulled up my phone, and it was like 4.5 minutes left, and we were still down 2-1, you know. I was like, oh man, like what, you know, whatever. So then, and then like 2 minutes later or something, I pulled it up again, and it was like 2.5 minutes, and it was 1-1. And I was like, and I like did an intake of breath. I was like, and then my co-teacher Katie was like, what's the matter? Like, she heard me do it across the room. I was like, no, the women's hockey team tied it up with like 2 minutes left.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Because they pulled the goalie.
Yeah, right.
Which is always exactly a huge thing. That's, I mean, that's as far desperate as he gets. Pull the right goalie.
Yeah.
All it takes is one, you know, to get out, you know, the puck get out of your hands once and you're done.
Yeah. Say, well, right. Yeah, but so that was awesome.
It was
like,
so exciting. Yeah, that was such a...
And I was like I said, I was at school, and then I had club right after school, so I actually wasn't paying attention to the game, but I was like participating in my club that I was doing, and but you and Drew and the people were texting, because we were all texting about it. Mm-hmm. So my phone was like vibrating, like, bzz, 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 like every like few minutes it was vibrating, and then I pulled out my phone at one point, and I saw that you texted like, woohoo, or something like that, so... So, like, which was fine. You know, like, of course, I would have loved to watch it, but I knew, like, at that moment, like, that was, like, confirmation that we had scored or won or something. Right. I was like, yeah, so I was so happy. But, yeah, then we watched then the men's hockey, which, you know, for... So, the last time we played, like, hockey was in, was it 2010 that we played Canada in Canada?
Well, no, that was the last time we made it.
To the finals.
The Olympics, to the finals.
Right.
And then we were really good that year, and then went down to a shootout, and Canada beat us. And they beat the women, too, that year, too, I remember.
Right.
I remember both. Yeah.
And it was in Canada. So yeah, it was like, so even more, brutal. Man. Yeah, I remember, was it like was his name Crosby, Max Crosby, or whatever, who or whatever.
Not
Max Crosby. That's the Raiders. Sidney Crosby.
Yeah,
and he like scored and all. Like, oh man. So it was like the anticipation of it. You know, having watched that and having been like so invested, and then we lost that game. It's like, ugh, just that feeling, that like heart dropping feeling of losing, when you're like, the anticipation's so there and you're so ready to score and win, and like,
right.
And then it's just like the loss. I mean,
that's the greatest moments you're waiting for. That's why sports are so exciting, when you finally do.
Yeah. And that, like, that's when we were, you know,
there is a lack of understanding, people who aren't into whatever sport, like, why are you freaking out? It's because there's so much anticipation, and there is so much failure.
Mm-hmm.
Until you finally hit it, you know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, until you finally win.
Yeah.
And on that, it's a little different. I don't really watch hockey. And that's only because we don't have a local team. I mean, we have the Cats down in DC, but I'm not going to root for a DC team. I'm just I'm not into it. So I don't have a team. So I don't really have that much vested interest in
Right.
Watching hockey, but I love the Olympics. And yeah. I do love hockey. Watching it as a sport is a great sport.
Yeah, right. So, and then when you can, we can be invested because it's USA team.
Right.
You know, it's like our team.
Everybody come like together from all these different teams to play for the U.S., to have a team. And there's a great rivalry there and a great history. And, you know, and then you had last year you had the Four Nations hockey thing, which I also watched. And then we beat Canada the first, and then I think they won the whole tournament. So that was a little bit something, too. And they were booing our anthem and stuff, which is a little rude.
Yeah.
Which is very...
super rude.
That doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to a million...
sporting events.
Yeah, I've been to a lot of sporting events, and I've been to a lot of Blue Jays Orioles games, working them.
Right.
And we do both anthems.
Yeah.
It's a little... I mean, there's no huge rivalry there.
Right.
But no one ever boos the anthem.
Yeah, because that's fucked up.
You just don't do it.
That's super low class.
It's like, so disrespectful. It's so trashy.
Right.
No matter what you think of whatever is going on at the time or blah, 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 whatever you think it is. It is just... And that's why there was fights, like whatever, three fights in the first minute. Or, you know, and there was... You got to throw it down. And those hockey boys are going to throw it down because that's what they want to do anyway. So.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, you got all that stuff. So it's...
And then
Canadians
the
acting like they're hot shit. And like, and they pretend they're nice, but they're...
Yeah.
They're not. You know, they want to shit on us all the time. What's the joke? I don't know. There's a bunch of Canadian jokes, but it's just, all right. Let's do it.
You know, winning that moment, being like so happy, so excited. Mm-hmm. And then like over the next multiple days, it's like everything on Instagram, all the reels about it were just so much fun to watch. Because it was like, it was either groups of Americans watching and just jubilation, or groups of Canadians watching and just pure sorrow.
Right.
And it was like so much fun to watch all that stuff because it was just reliving that and being like, you know, like feeling that sympathy for them. Like, you know, that feeling, you know, because anytime you have a team that like loses in something big, it's like, oh, that feeling's horrible, you know, but it's like, it makes you feel that much better because it wasn't you that felt that. You know, it's like, oh, it was great. So when I posted the post about like just how much fun it had been over the next few days, like watching all that stuff, it was purely about that. It was about reliving that joy and like, and reliving that, like, yes, that's not us. And like laughing at the scorn of other people, you know, but also enjoying us and feeling the sympathy and knowing that, you know, seeing like Canadian people talking about like, you know, what either why they should have won or you know, I saw a bunch of Canadian like people talk like telling other Canadians to shut up, like, we lost, like, it doesn't matter what you think, like, we lost the points, you know.
And you
like,
know, I give them a little bit of grace anyway. People are bitter,
yeah,
and we all know every sports fan, the way some people are dismissive of their own team as they're playing,
right?
Yeah. We all know people are like, oh, it's over. You know, it's like, wait, we're down by 7 in the second quarter. There's a football analogy, obviously. It's like, what? Shut up. Like,
yeah,
I don't need your negativity.
Yeah.
I do it sometimes. Like, and if we'll have like a family chat, I will be like a little bitter about certain things, but it's because it gets to a point, where some things, it's not like that. I still want them to win. I still hope. Like, I don't have hope. I'll never say it's over.
Right.
But
right.
if someone I think is great is playing like shit, or someone is playing like shit and they shouldn't deserve to be playing, then I'm like, I will bitch about that. You know, I'm like, this, like the kicker, like
this is crap.
Our kicker, right? Yeah. Should have been bitching about all season.
Uh-huh.
This guy Tyler stinks. Luke. This guy stinks. This guy stinks.
Yeah.
And then guess what? When we need him, this guy stinks.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I was like, fucking dunk on your ass. You know, it's like the worst I was right of all time.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so like when, you know, in that whole situation where I was like, I put the post up about just how much fun it had been, you know, and all the different like funny reels and stuff. And
did she get any Canadian hate from that?
I didn't, which is good. You know, there's a couple of people I know are Canadians, you know, and they're like, you know, but for that one specifically, I actually didn't get any Canadian hate, but I did get somebody who like talked about, on the first reel, who was like, you know, it's a shame that your team, like, or that our team, like, misbehaved afterward. And I was like, shut up. I was like, that's so, like, don't make it that. Like, it was such a shame that there was, like, this political thing that happened. Like, ugh.
Oh, but it wasn't even anything. I mean, I think it's, people didn't want to see any, they just didn't want to see Trump talking to someone.
Of course.
No matter what he said. So.
Yeah. It didn't matter what he said. It would literally matter nothing.
It's like, kind of the, like, it was, yeah, it was so stupid.
It was, oh, I was so, like, angry that it got, like, ruined because of that. And, like, you know, in that moment, like, it's like, literally, also, that's, like, the epitome of locker room talk. Like, it's locker room talk. There's a whole saying.
Like, yeah, it's so stupid. And it wasn't even, like, right. The people were going to make anything off of whatever, you know, that guy says. And for right and wrong. Well, that's also something I knew when they, like, shared anything like that. I'm like, oh, no. Like, why are they sharing, like, private conversation? Kind of. Even though it's not, but it's like, I'm like, oh, jeez.
But, it's like, come on. And then the whole, like, with the FBI director there, like, who cares? Like, he was at the Olympics. Like, he's there. He's, like, he's a huge hockey fan. Like, go and celebrate. Drink beers. And, like, that's what locker rooms are for. Like, like, oh, holy shit. Oh, I was so, like, angry about that. And then I was like, you know, I don't want people to misconstrue my post about it being funny, that I'm, like, you know, like, think it's funny. Like, I was like, come on, you're ruining this for me. You know, it's ruined it for all of us. Like, it was such an amazing moment. Like, it just,
but I was so proud. It's, you know, usually, like, the people who don't want to watch these sports anyway,
who have to comment on
things. Like, wait, you weren't even interested in it before. So don't involve yourself now.
Yeah.
It's a time where we can all come together, not only whether it's all different teams. Teams who hate each other, all of a sudden they have the guys on the same team.
Right.
All Americans can root for the same group of guys, and the guys can be happy that they're American in that point of time. You know what I mean? Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Happy I can do good for my country and make everyone at home happy.
Yeah, and your president calls, like, that's cool. Like, whatever, you know, like, you don't ever get to talk to the president. Like, it doesn't matter who the president is. And then
if you didn't like the president as the person in the thing, you'd probably still be around just to listen to it.
Right. And he's still the president of your nation during the Olympics, you know, like, and you're there listening, and, like, he's making jokes like, I guess I gotta invite the women too. Like, that's funny because the women have won all of them. Like, that's the whole point.
Right.
You know, and
of course all those guys love the women, and we are, like, there's such a pride that I feel when American women do well in those sports, because what it shows is that we give unparalleled opportunity to our women.
Right.
They are, like, the best at every sport that we go out and try to play.
Right.
And it's because we hold them up, and we give, like I said, unparalleled opportunity to them as children, and move on, and we're always encouraging them. And so I think everybody's proud, especially the men's team. And it's just, you know, it's a silly thing. But at the end of the day, it was so much fun. And I think people who enjoy sports enjoyed it, and people maybe don't enjoy sports, or just, okay, then, like, don't involve yourself. If you're going to be, it's you know, it's the same person who during the Super Bowl party goes, yay, football. Like, ironically. Right,
exactly.
Like, sports. Shut the fuck up. Like, sport ball. You're like, what are you doing here? Like, shut up.
Right. Like, if you don't, like, care, don't come to the party where we all care.
Like, ironically, ooh, this is, like, shut up. We like this thing. So either, like, be a part of it or don't. Like,
right. Don't try to shame us.
It's a silly game, and we're men who like playing games. So we like our local team that plays a game. Like, that's how it goes. That's sports. If you don't like them, then don't come over.
Right. If it wasn't a real thing that, like, brought real joy to the world, they wouldn't make millions of dollars.
Right. You know, it wouldn't be like,
It's something that's like, you know, in a world where we all live day to day and we have bills and like we have the normal shit that we do all the time. Like it's a fun way to get excited and get your adrenaline rushing. That's what it is. Like it's entertainment, you know?
Yeah. I'll say one more thing on this. I think letting, just like we don't really talk politics on this, I think letting politics get in the way of the things you enjoy is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
And just a dumb thing for you to do.
Yep.
Whether it be you're pissed at blah, 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 because they mentioned something in the Olympics and you don't want to, you don't feel like rooting or flying the flag right now because of whatever.
Right. Yeah.
It's the same thing on the other side as not wanting to watch or engage with a team during times when people are kneeling and doing all that. And I get both sides. But in both opportunities, I am not going to let either of those things get in the way of my enjoyment of the sport that I like watching.
Right, exactly.
We go, there are some people doing this thing I don't like over here, and there's some, you know, it doesn't matter.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to watch the thing. I'm not going to let it shut down my interest of that, of this, because there's a few people in this organization doing this thing or that thing. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, you're not taking away my joy.
No.
This is still my joy. You know, it's like,
right, this is still a fun thing. It's not going to stop me from participating in the thing that I like doing.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah, it's like, it's a shame that so much of what people do and their opinions of things are just ruled by one or the other side of an opinion. Like, like the world is full of other things other than these politics, you know, like these things that are so divisive. It's, let's just, like, it shouldn't have to control you just because one person believes in a certain thing.
I feel that it is a, well, I don't know. It's a bit harsh. But I was going to say, it's kind of like a weakness in your character that you let this outside thing control how you're going to feel about the thing you love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Yeah.
And not that you're a weak person, but in this instance, you are failing yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I agree. You are letting this thing dictate your own happiness too much.
Right.
There's a time and place in trying to deal with heavy things, and these fun things, just enjoy it. And don't be like, oh, did you hear what this person said? I don't care what that person said about that thing. He probably thinks something I don't on that, and that guy probably agrees with me on the other side.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, when he's doing the thing that I like that he does, that's completely outside the realm of that. Can they make touchdowns?
Can they hit home runs? Can they score goals in hockey?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, and there's a little bit of the thing I always joke that when it's like, and this is kind of different, but they'll go like, are they good for the locker room? Is the team, is the morale good on the team?
All right.
But we don't want to hire this guy because he's like trouble. Some superstar, right?
Yeah.
And you go, it doesn't matter. You know what makes the team happy? Winning.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Teams that win are happy. Teams that lose have a bunch of issues.
Yep.
Like, people get along when they're winning. So thing, that doesn't matter. Hire the guy who's difficult.
Yeah.
If he's hitting home runs, guess what? Everyone's going to be happy. We're not going to be hearing about it.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's going to be patting them on the back, and the locker room's going to be a happy place.
We're all winning. It doesn't matter. Everything falls to the side.
We start losing with him.
What about the locker room?
And the locker room's shitty. Fine. Get rid of him.
if we're not winning, then okay, then lose the guy. But I don't care what you think his personality is going to bring to it. I don't care about his personality. The nicest person, guy on the team, if he can't hit, I don't want him around.
Right. I will say, out of, not necessarily all the communities, but I will say the maker community like, is such a welcoming place. And really, like, rarely have I ever heard anyone talk or bring up politics in the Maker community. You know, the Maker community is about, like, everyone learning from each other and, like, bringing each other up and being generous with the knowledge they have and enjoying the fact that we can all, like, solve these problems and make these things and be proud of this, like, ability that we have and, like, learn from other people. And it's just, like, I will say that, you know, I don't think I can think of, like, one person in the Maker community that I've, like, seen post, or at least the people that I follow, seen post about something, like, that's divisive one way or the other. You know, like, I will say, like, you know, the artist community, which I'm also part of, very much so. Yeah, you know, like, very much so, the artist community is very political. You know, Maker community, no, nothing. Like, maybe occasionally there's a hint at something, but it's, but
right,
it's never, it never takes away from the fact that we're trying to be generous with our knowledge and we're, like, and we're enjoying other people's abilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and what can you do that's amazing? Let me shout it out. Let's show, let's share our skill. Let's share our interests. Let's share what we do and be part of that community. And I love that.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, of course everyone's got their opinions and, like, there's stuff might pop up, but, like, but no one, like, It doesn't ever come to a point where people are ready to, like, shut down people or turn away because, like, you don't agree with what they agree with. Because that's not what it's about. It's about all of us getting together and being like-minded and enjoying the Maker community. And we don't let those, like, political beliefs divide us in that community.
Right. Which is pretty cool. Which I think most people don't. It is. Yeah. It's very rare. And I've got plenty of friends who don't think the same way I do about certain things.
Right.
It doesn't really come up, and when it, if it does, you kind of just move past it. You know, it doesn't matter. That part, that the certain things don't matter in being a kind person day to day and sharing what you know and trying to create things.
And I think you and I have said it, like, pretty well before that, like, I think we both believe that the majority of people are somewhere in the middle, mm-hmm. you know, but you don't, we don't see that majority because they're not vocal about it. You know, you only see and you hear from the people who are one or the other, you know?
Right.
But really that's not like our, I don't believe that our country is that divided, you know, like, yes, there's division and, like, people have beliefs, but I think most people I believe that most people are somewhat level-headed where they're willing to hear, you know, opinions and stuff, and they're willing to hear and see opinions from both sides. And so whether or not that's 100% true, I feel like that's got to be the more realistic version of what we are.
I mean, it's definitely true statistically. More people are independent and unregistered than, you know, Democrats or Republicans.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like 25 or 30% on either side, and the majority isn't. So, you know, those things.
Yeah.
To go back to, like I said, to wrap it all up, those things aren't. It's a silly thing on how, when it comes down to it, you deal with each other day to day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important. That's how we were raised.
Yep.
It was never brought up that this person, it was never a point of, it was never a sticking point that this person was this or that.
Right, no.
It was always be kind, be nice, be thankful, leave things better than you found them. It's like just, you deal with those main things and the rest take care of themselves.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
hit the main things. Be kind to everyone. Help when you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things.
Yeah, right. Be polite. Help when you can. Like, open doors for people. Like, be a good person. Like, and lead by example.
Right.
You know? Like, that's the other thing. Like, if you do good things, other people will notice those good things, and they will also do good things.
Right.
You know,
that's the best thing you can do to... Mm-hmm. Forward whatever point you're going to bring up.
Yep.
Because if people like you as a person, and then it does come down to some point you have to bring up on some issue, they're going to listen to you more because they like you as a person.
Yeah. Because they know,
like any of us, we like someone, and then they start maybe there's a point you wouldn't normally consider because you're triggered by it, but then
right.
they bring it up and you go, well, I guess, you know, you do that thing like a little bit, you know?
Right. You're at least willing to listen right in that moment. You're like, you know, like, let me hear what you're going to say, because I know typically you're a good person and I'm willing to listen to what you're going to say. Yeah, exactly.
I did this thing like 5 or 10 years ago. I don't know if I read it or something, but I thought, okay, whatever opinion I hear on something, I'll give it 5% of consideration.
Right.
I am secure that I think my way is 95% right here.
Right.
But I will give you 5% of my, like, thought.
Right, yeah.
And all that did was open me to ideas, like, not to immediately reject it.
Right.
Even if I think it's ridiculous or it's something I wouldn't normally consider, I give you 5%. And really, that's right. just a door to listen, right? That's all right, that, exactly. that is, to allow yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're allowing yourself saying, hey, I know in this situation, I think 95% of me is going, this is how this thing should be.
Yep.
And this is, everything makes me feel that this is right. But I'll give you 5%
right. like,
of yeah. what I think could be in the way you're putting it. And listen, and then, you know, the majority of the time, the 95% of me has already decided what I want. But, right. you know, I feel like having a little bit an open door to listen to other people is kind of is important.
Right, because as soon as you shut down, as soon as you're 100%, then you're in the non-negotiable area.
Right.
And then there's no hope, right? There's no hope in any type of communication. There's no hope in any type of, like, reunification between two people. Like,
right.
That's the bane. That's the bane of our lives is when there's no hope. Like, there's got to be hope. Like Shawshank Redemption, right? You have hope. Like, there's got to be something where you're willing to say, you know, like, okay, let's say, like, I don't know, something 100%, right? We know 100% that we are on, you know, like, a planet where we have life here, and some people think there's, you know, 0% chance there's no alien life, you know, but, like, we're in a universe, like, an infinite universe of, like, other pet planets and stuff, so you gotta be like, yeah, we've never seen any alien life, we don't, maybe, you know, but, like, there's gotta be, like, you can't give it zero, right? So give it that night, that 5% that, like, okay, well, like, I can't say for 100% sure that I know and that it's a fact that there's no other alien life, there's no other life anywhere else in the universe. Like, we don't have any evidence, but the evidence still doesn't make it 100%. So you should be like, it seems naive to be 100% on anything, you know? So it's like, okay, well, especially when someone else feels like they're 100%, then you got to at least give them at least that 5% to, like, okay, I think what I'm going to say is right, but tell me what you're going to say.
Yeah.
The 5% is me listening, you know, like, go ahead.
And that helps you in your discussion with that person because you are giving them something.
Yeah.
Start that conversation. Give them something.
Right, yeah.
You know, I feel you're right here, and I understand the way you feel about blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I can make my point. You know, you're giving them a little something, and then,
And that's right. And I kind of had that realization, you know, a while ago with like political stuff and people's beliefs and what you're gonna do. And, you know, I kind of realized, like, you know, I want to try to affect the people around me. I'm gonna, you know, I'm not gonna change the minds of the people that are on Facebook who don't care, you know, or whatever, on Instagram who don't know me, you know, but, like, I can affect the opinions of my family. I can affect the opinions of my, like, my close friends. I can, and me as a teacher, like, I can maybe affect the opinions of my students. I can show them that if you're, like, a good person and you're kind and, you know, like, I can affect those people. So those are the people that I'm going to put the effort into of showing who I am.
And then that is, I mean, that's all you can do at the end of the day, because those are the things that matter. If you are kind to me and friendly and help me out in times of need, I don't care where you land politically.
Right, exactly.
Because you're a great person. Like, that's all there is to it. whatever you think about the economics of blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
What, who gives a shit? Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, yeah, like, and like, that's great. Like, you're a good person. You think that these things are going to help us do better. Like, awesome. Right on. Like, good on you, like, for believing that. But, like, you're a good person. You know, that's what matters. If you're a really shitty person and you're believing all the stuff, then I'm really right. not going to listen
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, and then I don't care what you think no matter what. I'd rather have you exactly. be a kind person and opposite of my mm-hmm. political beliefs than a shitty person who's
the same.
Step yeah, in line the with thing. The way I would vote on everything.
Right.
I would much yeah. rather have the person on the opposite side of the aisle. Right. Hanging out with him and talking with him, and we all kind of know people like that who are obnoxious yeah. and people who aren't. You just deal with it that way. I don't know how we got on this for so long, but
political talk with the Art of
Craftsmanship, which we don't, which we're saying we don't want to talk know, about political yeah. talk as we're talking about, but we're not. We're just saying,
yeah, we're talking about let like us root human for nature.
The hockey team without bringing bullshit in it.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah,
just like the same thing we had to deal with when we were AOC before AOC was a politician.
Right, exactly.
And that was a pain in the ass. And people would yep. start mentioning stuff like that on it. And we had to, like, delete those comments. It was so stupid.
Right. Yeah, and, like, when we switched over from the logo of the, like, the hand-drawn Art of Craftsmanship logo to the AOC Runes logo, people were like, I don't know. Like, you don't want to be AOC. Like, I don't care about that. Like if someone's going to associate our channel with that, like, how naive is that? You know, like, right, it's a completely different right. thing. It doesn't matter. Like, you obviously have no idea what we do if all you're going to do is, like, judge us by the acronym that our channel is. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. You know, like.
And honestly, you know, the majority of the people that watch don't know your name as a channel anyway.
Right. Like,
it's exactly. always something crazy, like 80% or 85 or something is. People who aren't subscribed and they're just watching one of your videos for the first time.
Right.
We've actually had a lot of good older videos that continue to do well. I love it yeah. when I see those old ones.
Yeah, right, right.
And we got some, I know I'm slacking on the hammer video, but we do have, we have some good plans on some new and different things to make coming up here in the,
yeah.
in the new year. I'm excited to get back to shooting and making good content that can last a long time.
Right. And like, I'm always making stuff in the shop again. That's why we started the channel, right? Because I'm always in the shop making stuff, and I'm still constantly making stuff. But the problem that I have is that I'm like, I get excited and I start like building something, and then I'm like, oh shit, I should probably get some content of this, you know? Mm. And it's like, so I'll like build something, I'll be making on something, or you'll comment and you'll be like, oh man, that we should do that as a video or something. Or like, and you know, nowadays where like we're not able to get as much to get together as much, I'm trying to like capitalize on those like small projects and stuff, making shorts and things. But I always just like get excited. Or also because if it's not a video, then I'm not on a time frame. So, like, for what I'm working on now is this Viking sea chest I've been working on. But I started it, like, 4 months ago and just, like, putting together the pieces. But then the other night I came out and I was, like, putting it all together. And now I, like, went out, actually bought. So a Viking sea chest is a six-board chest, as they call it. So there's, like, two boards on the front and back, two boards on the left and right sides. And then there's a bottom board, which is the bottom of the box. And then there's a top. And all six pieces are supposed to be one piece of wood, right? So, like, the original Viking sea chests weren't laminated sides, right? So it's not multiple thinner pieces of wood stacked together to make a wider board. So I have, like, I've been putting that together, and I have the boards and stuff, and then, but I'm about to do the top, and so I had to get, so most of the tops on these chests are thicker pieces of wood that are either, like, domed or they're like shaped on the top and then they're hollowed out on the inside. And so I went to Home Depot this afternoon to get a 2x12 to be able to do a thicker top on this, like the whole Viking sea chest that I'm making is all made out of like 3/4 inch lumber pine. So like the only 2x12s at Home Depot, the smallest 2x12s I will say, not in pressure treated, are 12 foot long. So I was like, Oh man, I'm like hoping we could get like standard length, like at 8 foot 2x12, but they don't make them. So
how much was that?
$25. So it wasn't too bad, you know. Like if it were a, you know, like a 2x4 and 8 feet length is like $3 or something, right? $3 or $4.
Yeah.
And they go up a, you know, a dollar or so if you go 2x6s, 2x8s, 2x whatever 10s. But once you get into 10, so they had 6s, 8s, and 10s in 8 foot lengths. I think maybe they were 10 foot lengths, but they didn't have any 2x12s. So my chest, the C chest, is 11 inches wide or deep, you know. And so I had to get a 2x12 because 12 inches, a standard American, you know, or whatever, lumber 2x12 is 1.5 by 11.5. It's a half inch shorter. So I had to get that. But, and also with, ideally with the Viking sea chest, they like tried to avoid knots, right? So I'm looking for a length of probably about 24 inches that has no knots. And almost everything in like standard, you know, lumber for building is all pine, and there's tons of knots in pine, right? So I'm like digging through. So, but I did find a piece that had like a good like 32 inch length of it that had no knots. And but then I was like, my truck, it has a 6 foot bed. I'm like, oh crap, okay, how do I put a 12 foot piece of lumber? But the nice thing about my new truck is that it actually has a back window, where my like the Dodge Ram didn't have any back window. It had a back window, but it didn't have any opening. The Ford F-150 has an actual opening window. So I opened that and like slid it in. But then I put it, I have a, what's it called? Like a tonneau cap or whatever, you know, the cap on top of my bed. Yeah. So I'm like folded that back, but it's not made out of like the most sturdy stuff. So I'm like, I'm hoping this, you know, 80 pound 2x12 that's 12 feet long is not going to like bend my tonneau cover and whatever, but it was fine. So got that home, brought it into my shop, but I had to buy a 12 foot long piece that was, you know, super heavy and, you know, whatever for just like the top of my Viking sea chest. But I am gonna like carve it, so it's gonna have some cool carving to it and stuff. And
need one of those battery powered circular saws.
Oh right, yeah. Take it with me.
Just having the back of your truck.
Right, exactly. I had that thought. I was like standing in line, you know, and I stood it up one end, so I'm like standing next to this 12 foot piece of wood.
You got a plug in the back somewhere? Do you?
I don't know if there's a plug in the back, but there's a plug inside.
It's like relatively new.
Yeah.
Well, you could've for next time.
Yeah,
just bring the circular saw along.
But I was able to like, I did stick it in the window and stuck it in, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 feet into my truck, and there was probably about 3 feet hanging off the back of the truck.
Well, and you could have you could have put in the bed with the tailgate down. That's like 8 feet.
I had that thought too.
You just trap it down, and then if you want, you can hang a rag off the back. Yeah. But it's, you know, you're not going that far.
Yeah, and the other thing, it was like I had stopped at Home Depot to pick up the wood, but then I had to stop at a grocery store and pick up a couple things on the way home. So I was like, do I want to like, because I had that thought. I put the tailgate down. I was like, oh, I could just put it in there because that gives me the extra, you know, 2 feet or whatever. Yeah. And that gives me like 8.5 feet, right? That would have been plenty to hold
it. Yeah, 4 feet.
And I tied it down and stuff. But yeah, it was nice to put the window down, slid it in, and then kind of tied it on, and it worked.
But last time, I don't know. Excuse me. It wasn't for the closet. It was for something else. I think it made for the treehouse. I think I had the F-150.
Yeah, I think so. At the time. Yeah.
And I had a bunch of lumber, and it did the old thing where I was with Dad, and he's like, "That's not going anywhere." And sure enough, we're like turning into something. You hear like, gung, gung, dung, 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 dung. Like, you know, a bunch of the big ones had rolled off and we're in the middle of the road. Like,
oh, jeez.
Had to run and get them. Actually, someone got them for us.
Oh, dang.
It must have been in his way or something, but he had like stopped and we had pulled into a grocery store parking lot. Was about to run out there and he like dragged them over.
Jeez.
That old thing. So I strapped down. I got my sweet rhino straps that I use now that have the I don't know what's it called, the button that you push that automatically spins it up and gets your straps.
That's like an auto-retractor?
Yeah, auto-retractor.
Oh, cool. So
you push that button, it's like instant to whatever length you need it.
Nice. Yeah.
So I have those in the back of the old Tacoma, the old tackle.
In the 4.5-foot bed Tacoma.
That's right. And it fits my bike perfectly. If I turn the wheel,
yeah,
it's great.
Aw.
I know, but it fits perfectly.
So yeah. In there. No, that's funny. Like, you know, when I had my original Ford F-150, 1989 F-150 with the extended cab, that's an awesome truck. I love that truck. Stick shift. Oh, 8 foot so bed. Good. 8 foot bed. Right. Yeah. So I had the 8 foot bed in that. And then I was like,
you went down to six. Like,
ugh. Yeah, I know. When I went down, yeah, when I got the that's Ram, I went down to the 6 foot bed. Wow. And I was like, oh, so I was like, you know, I really want the full bed. But then now I have the F-150. And it's
nowadays, you're like, oh, you got the 640, the long one. Nice.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Right, because when I was looking, yeah, I was looking for like getting the extended bed, but it was like, you know, I could either get a single cab with a 8 foot bed.
Yeah.
Or like it was really hard to find the extended cab with the 8 foot bed or the crew cab, whatever, the four door with the 8 foot bed. It's just like not a super common. Like they had them, but they're just not as common around here. So the 6.5-foot bed worked.
Yeah.
You know, I liked the balance between the front and the back. Like it looks nice. Like I'm happy.
Right.
With that.
And that's the problem. Tacoma looks best with a 4.5-foot bed. Mm-hmm. With the, you know, it looks like it still keeps it as a small or medium sized truck.
Right, right.
And a little bit of an off roader too, but it is a shame. I wanted this, I would have preferred the 6.
Right.
Throws the look off a little bit, but I would have taken it. But when I was buying used, it was just coming down to what I could get.
Yeah.
And I actually found the one I have now in the color that I like.
Right.
Right before I was about to buy another one, the color I wasn't great. It was like a purpley blue.
Right. Oh, weird.
But everything else was good about it. It was great. Miles were good. Price was where I wanted it.
Right.
And I had kind of gotten fed up, and Caitlin was like over it, you know. I kept going, like, well, we just got to. You know how it is. Everyone knows how it is. When you look for a used vehicle and you're searching, you just have to go to the places. You got to go look. I got to go look another one. We got to go drive here. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, you're just, you have to put in the time to find something that's decent.
Yeah.
And then the last day, or it was, this is what happened. I probably told it on the podcast, but I went up to a Pennsylvania dealer because I'm right below the Pennsylvania line. And, you know, you look everywhere. They had a bunch of Tacomas, and the one I wanted they didn't have for whatever reason. Oh, we just sold that. It's that old bullshit. You know, they probably just keep a couple gems on their website just to pull suckers in like me.
that one just left.
Yeah. How about this one? You know, it was that old thing. But it was a nice looking one. It was even up on the grass. You know, it was like it was posed.
Yeah, right.
How about that one out there? You see that one on the way? Yeah, I like that. But you know, the purpley blue. Right? I'm not really a big fan of that color. Right. Yeah, either love it or hate it.
Yeah, right.
And then I looked at some and didn't like them. And then on my way out, I saw it again. I was like, you know, that's kind of good looking, you know. And I checked the price and it was where I wanted it. You know, I was like, let's talk to them. And I was almost actually, I was like, all right, well, let's see what we can do. Like, let's start running the numbers and all that.
Yeah.
And then they came to me, hey, we can't accept, I think, a Maryland check or something. Right. We need to do something. It takes like time. Whatever it was, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically, I wouldn't be able to drive out that day. Come back Monday with this, and that. And we can figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, like, see ya.
Cool. But I was kind of in the thing. Like, all right. Well, you're not going to sell it. Like, I think I want it. You know what I
right.
mean? Right. So we'll do this. Yep. And sure enough, the price, they wouldn't drop it at the time, but after I left, you know, they called me immediately. Yeah, we'll drop it, whatever, $500,000. You're like, oh, you bitches.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and then that day, or maybe I was laying in bed, I found one in Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
In the Luna Rock kind of gray-green that mine is. Yeah. With the off-road package instead of, like, the sport package.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like the scoop on the Tacomas, but off-road has all the things that off-road, you know, you got all the cool more off-road buttons. Not that I'll ever use it, but it has that instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, and I like the rims better on the off-road one, too. And then I went and saw that the next day and got that one. But it's always, yeah, you're trying to, like, figure out what to do and what to... Such a pain in the butt.
Yeah, and you're like, they know they get robbed, like, you know, is it a good deal or them. Not? Or yeah.
And, yeah. But, and then the other thing was, and I think I may have told this story, too. If you go to CarMax, they ask you what the conditions are on your car. What I would suggest is you put in the best conditions possible. Or maybe not all of them, because maybe they'll flag something in the system.
Yeah.
Get the best appraisal possible. And then go in, because they were so quick with my truck, they did not look at it when they bought my truck.
Yeah.
I brought that F-150 in there, and they were basically taking the license plates off before I even started filling up, like, you know, talking to them.
Right.
Like, they were, it's all about quantity.
Right, yeah.
Turn it over. Is it a truck? Yeah, that's all it is. Is it the black truck? Do the VIN, does the VIN match?
Yeah, exactly.
What's are you the owner?
What are the mileage? Like, we can fix up
That was it.
Yep.
Like,
yeah.
The fact it was all rusted under it and all these other things that I, like, kind of went, oh, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like, I was very honest. I probably could have got another couple grand out of them if I wasn't so honest, because for how quick they were.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, maybe give it a, maybe be a little bit looser with your honesty on the condition, because I guess the worst thing that can happen is they come back and go, well, this wasn't exactly what you said.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, you know, sure.
Right.
And then they'll bring the price down. Yeah. But I was starting myself out at a lower price, trying to be honest and not wanting to deal with the bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good to be honest, but for those, that type of thing, they're just going to sell at auction or something. They don't care.
Yeah, right.
If it's a person in the world, I would tell them. And that's why I didn't sell mine privately, because I knew it had the rust issues.
Right, exactly.
Because I was like, shit, I will screw someone over if I sell this to them for this price.
Right.
So I'll just give it to CarMax. But there you go.
Yeah, when I got my truck, the same thing. Like, it's funny, that almost the same exact story, where I was like, I had found a blue version of the truck, and it was like a year younger, but it had about 20,000 miles more on it. And I was ready to buy that one. And on Sunday morning, I'm like, all right, this is it. We're going to go. We're going to get the truck.
I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then I looked up and I was like, wait, they're not open on Sunday. What the heck? And I'm like, looking at all these dealerships, none of them are open on Sunday.
They all do bankers
out in the world. Yeah. So then that day I had found, like, I found another one. I found the white, and it was a year older, but it had 20,000 miles less. And it was like exactly the truck that I wanted, because I had looked up multiple things about, like, you know, what was the best truck in the last 10 years and what do people recommend? And so, you know, I kind of knew that I wanted a Ford, but I was also, like, willing to look. And so there was, like, the Toyota Tacoma, the Ford F-150, you know, in this date range. And then there was like a GMC Sierra or something. They were, like, the highest rated. I forget what it was, but, you know, there were a couple. And so I was like, okay, cool. Well, like, I want the F-150. Like, that's hitting that number. And then people were like, okay, you want, if you're going to get it, you know, then when I started doing research, like, if you're going to get an F-150, you want this year, the 2017, and you want it to have, like, this engine package and get the, like, you know, the V8 instead of the V6 and da-da-da, because it's got all the stuff. And that was, like, exactly the one I wanted. And so I found that on that day. And it's funny. So when we were there, like, doing the test drive and going through all the stuff, and the woman who I was working with, she was like, her phone rang a couple times, and then she picked up at one point, and she was like, excuse me one second. She was like, okay, yeah. She's like chatting with the random person for a second. I was like, sorry, yeah, they're here. They're going to get it, da da da. She was like, apparently that was like another person who wanted that exact truck and like wanted it. But she had already said, like, I have someone coming in looking at it. Well, this day, this afternoon. So they're going to come and look at it. So, and she told me, she's like, yeah, he wants this truck exactly. But, and she's like, we have like other F-150s on the lot, but he doesn't want them. He wants this one. I was like, but you guys are here first. So I was like, is she trying to, is she doing something just to like,
right, well, they could
make us feel good
they,
about
they,
it?
They, like, they do that. Like, I've got a lot of people asking about it.
Yeah, this guy really wants this one. He won't take any of the other ones. Like, he doesn't want any other year. He wants the F, he wants the 17, and he wants this, and da da da. And so,
but, yeah, I just assume people are lying in that situation, and I say no as much as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also ask as many questions as I can possibly, just to have them explain themselves. You know,
right.
Whether I'll understand it or not, that's up to me, and I don't have to show that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I can fake it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay. I can do that. But I want to hear it come from you. I'm just going to ask a lot of things. And that, and what do you think? Do I have to do that? Is that something normally do? Like, every salesman, you just kind of hit them with the same thing.
Yeah. Right, and exactly. Then, and just like the price thing, too. Like, when she quoted me the price, it was like, okay, this is what it said on the website, but this is everything after taxes and tags and fees. Like, you know, obviously the price is going to go up because they add all that stuff in afterward.
Yeah, you know, and I was like, Yeah, you ask about all that stuff. What is that? Is that normal? Do you guys always do that? What is that?
Yeah. And I was just like, you know, I just asked. I was like, okay, this is what I wanted to spend. Like, can you come below this? You know, because what she quoted me was over it. She was like, okay, I think I could do that. You know, and then she, you know, typed some stuff in and ran some stuff. And she was like, and then she gave me a price that was lower than what I expected her to say. You know, so I was like, cool. All I had to do was ask, you know, like, it's funny because I tried to do that same thing at CarMax when I was there when we bought the Nissan Rogue.
Well, CarMax doesn't, they don't
haggle.
Yeah.
There's nothing. Yeah. He was like, actually, no, I can't. He's like, this is just what it is.
Which is good.
And I was like, okay. You know, I got it in the moment. Right. But in the moment, I was like, I'm buying a used car from a dealership. Let me ask them. Like, is there anything you can do? And he's like, no, not really. Yeah. But then when I asked him for the truck, she was like, oh, okay, let me see what I can do. You know, okay, I can do this price. I'm like, great. Awesome. You did me right.
I had the advantage of I was going to go back and get that other truck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was some advantage. No, I don't know. It was very comparable, almost down to the mileage and down to the year.
Right.
Like, one was a sport and one's this.
Yeah.
And also, I had, like, minimal time. I think Caitlin was at work. I was, like, dropped the kids off the in-laws. I kind of came in tight for time, but in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Not desperate, but, hey, this is the price. We have to make this price work. Right. This is the same. You can go look at the listing. I will go to this place next if you cannot match this price and these terms.
Right.
Like, and I gave it to them as I, like, walked in and made it, like, I said, like, hey, I want this truck. And this is the price I have to hit, or I'm going to have to go buy it from the other place. And here's the listing. I'm all set up for it. But I want this one. I like the color better. That's all I said. And how quick? Yeah. And I kept going, how quick can I make this? Like, I was kept moving forward. We do not need to do the 6-hour thing. Let's go. Like, put some paperwork in front of me that has this price, and I will buy it. that's all there is to it. Like, so that was nice, and we got it done for what I so.
Right. Yeah.
All right. This is car and politics talk.
I will say one thing. One more thing on the the truck talk. When I got, so my truck is a F-150 4x4 V8. It has the 4x4 logo on the back, as opposed to the F-4, which is the other thing you see on Ford trucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's the difference between FX4 and 4X4? And apparently they're like, the F-4 is what they call their, like, off-road package, as opposed to their, like, you know, standard 4x4 work 4x4 package.
Yeah.
So, which in my mind, I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, I'm not really going to go off-roading with this truck. Right. So I'd rather it be set up to do, like, all, you know, what do you use 4x4 with when you're using it as a, like a work vehicle?
Right.
You know, and it's really like, there are some distinctions, but really that's the main distinction. It's like the F-by-4 is the off-road package and the 4x4 is the work 4x4 package. Mm-hmm. So like the F-by-4s might be a little bit higher lifted, right? So you have a little bit more ground clearance for rocks and stuff, you know, whereas so like whatever the 4x4 might have a gear differential that's just a little bit more like for whatever, you know, even right. disbursement of weight. So just a little bit of knowledge. So people see out there, if you see a Ford truck with the F-by-4 or 4x4, those are the distinctions. The F-by-4 is the off-road package.
The fancy package.
Yeah. Although it's nice because I got you'll see F-150 XL or F-150 XLT. The XLT is the fancy package. That's the chrome stuff and the radio.
A little bit more. There's one more or two more above that.
There are. Yeah, right. Exactly. There's like the, there's like, you know, you can get Raptor and you can get all the other stuff, which is like going up. Silly. Yeah. Tremor, you know, all the different stuff. Yeah,
the crazy amount for new trucks.
Yeah,
it's more a couple of years ago than today. It's like,
yeah.
I'm not spending $90,000 on a truck.
I mean, you know, I spent like significantly more money on this truck now. It's a 2017. I bought it in 2025, so 8 years old.
Right.
I spent more money now on the truck than I spent on our 2016 Nissan Rogue when we bought it in 2020. And the Rogue had like 25,000 miles on it. And the Ford has 100,000 miles on it. Right. I spent more money on it now when it's 8 years old rather than a 5 year old vehicle. It's like,
but it's nice. Yeah. It's nice to have.
Exactly. It's what and it's what I want and what I love. You know, like I love having the truck. I use it all the time as a truck. Like I'm always putting stuff in the bed. I'm always doing stuff and I'm always moving stuff around. And
the thing with the Tacoma, it's going from the F-150 interior to Tacoma,
right?
Tacoma's small. It's a medium sized truck. It is a smaller interior, and you can feel it coming from the big F-150 interior.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But all in all, it's better for what I need it for. But I'm like, man, I do miss the big F-150 cab and all that stuff. But,
yeah, it's fun. Like Corinne's enjoying driving it. You know, she's like driving around. Yeah. She's like, this morning actually, I took her to school this morning because I had to drive separately. So usually the three of us drive together, and we always take the Rogue because it's much better gas mileage. Sure. But although my truck, so she drove, but she was like, you know, she's enjoying driving the big truck. But the Rogue gets something like, I don't know, an average of like 26 miles per gallon or something. Nice. The F-150 is probably in the range of like 18, probably, you know, like somewhere in that. But it feels really good because the Ford, my truck has a 30 gallon tank. Yeah. And when I fill that puppy up and it tells me I have 690 miles before I get to empty, right. I'm like, hell yeah, that'll last me like 2 months, you know, and then I'm like, but I do like seeing the number, you know, it's like how many miles per gallon you've like averaged over the whatever. It's like, it's a game to try to keep that number as high as possible and have it go up. And so I taught Corinne that game. I was like, all right, your goal is to see that number there to get that like point, whatever, to go up. You know, so like drive gently, like when you can, like just kind of ease the gas, like all that stuff is gonna like bring that that mileage up.
She's like, my goal is to make it a little bit louder.
It is fun. She does like the she likes the bigness of the truck, you know. She's like, I don't like little vehicles. Like, you got to crouch down to get in. She's like, I like to climb up into the vehicle I'm driving. I'm like, that's my girl. All right, well, I had some other stuff to talk about, things that we were in the shop, but we've done
it. Save it next week. We got a guest coming on, a reoccurring guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Or will be reoccurring guest, and that'll be fun. So
yeah, heck yeah.
Next week.
Cool. All right. Recommendations. So this is one that I was looking up. So somebody that I really like that I started watching, and I can't remember, I don't think I've recommended him yet, but his channel on YouTube is M Bjornstrom. So that's Bjornstrom. Bjornstrom. So this is Matthias. He is a younger guy, probably about our age, maybe, you know, in his whatever, it's like 30s or 40s. Living in northern Sweden, he works, I think his main job is like, he works at an airport in northern Sweden. So he's like, does, from what I can tell, he does like everything at the airport, whether that's like, you know, driving the snow plows to clear off the runway, to like fixing, you know, things inside of the heating system, to actually like going up into the tower and talking to planes coming in and marking down charts. Like, I don't know if there's only a few people that work in northern Sweden as these things, but he does everything at the airport. But his channel is really cool because it's like him doing cool stuff, making some stuff, like building things, and just like what he does normally. So it's like, okay, I'm gonna build a new like driveway, and so he'll bring in all these like, you know, vehicles and tractors and stuff, and he'll do the stuff. Or he's like working on his shop, or he built this wild like chain lawnmower weed whacker thing to be attached to his like skid steer, so he could clear out the brush edge of roads. And I don't know, it's just fun. Like, he's like, it's really easy to watch. He's like, seems like a really easygoing guy, and just like cool stuff. So check him out. His, again, his YouTube channel is M Bjornstrom, M.BJORNSTOSTROEM. But yeah, fun to watch. Easygoing, like just building cool things. He's got like all sorts of cool tools and stuff available to him because he like has access to all these different machines and tools and things from, you know, I guess the airport and his local people that he all works with. But really fun to watch. And his videos are all like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour long. And it's just him making cool things, maybe even longer than that. But he's doing really well, which is the other thing that we love, recommending people who are making lots of videos who are doing really well. So, but yeah, each of his videos, you know, comes out and does really well. But it's great because he's like such an easygoing guy and like fun to watch, and just like normal stuff. People like living and making cool things. And because he's northern Sweden, there's just like a lot of also like fun winter stuff where he's like plowing or like out in the snow and doing cool things. So
nice.
But yeah, it's a cool channel. It's fun stuff. And I came across it like a month ago or so, and it's just keeps popping up now in my YouTube feed, and I keep on watching things. It's great.
There you go.
Yeah.
I've been kind of depending whether to share this. Well, it doesn't matter. It's, I've been watching Spike's Car Radio, which is this guy who was a writer in Hollywood or something. But anyway, he has like Jerry Seinfeld on a lot. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, but they have the videos on YouTube, and the Jerry Seinfeld episodes are great, and which what pulled me in, and now I watch other episodes mm-hmm. of theirs, because they're just car guys in LA, and they're rich. They, you know, they have the greatest cars around.
Yeah, right.
And Jerry, people will come, they'll drive their car into the studio.
Oh, wow.
Into their shop. I guess it's a car shop, really, you know. And then they'll have the guest on, and then they'll walk around the car with, like, the camera guy.
That's cool.
Like, you know, they'll be in their podcast area, and they send the camera guy out, and they're like, check out this. They'll be talking, oh, under the hood's this, and, oh, check out the hand-painted this and that over there, and, oh, this is, and the guy just kind of wanders around the car, and it's nice. Really great. It's like supercar porn, you know, the most expensive cars in the world. And they're pretty funny, and me as a Seinfeld fan, very interesting to see just Jerry Seinfeld shoot the shit with people and just chat about cars. And that's kind of what it ends up being. So that's a pretty good, I think it's definitely very big, but their channel isn't huge, I don't think, on YouTube. necessarily, but it's an interesting watch if you're into cars and stuff. They're kind of they got something cool going on there.
Nice. And like you always say, like when someone's really excited about something, it doesn't really matter what it is because right. It's infectious. You're like, right. Oh yeah, that's so cool. You're like right. That enthusiasm and excitement is infectious. And like most people understand the like allure of cars, whether you're a car person or not. Sure. You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, look at this cool Craftsman thing, or look at this like engine, you know, or like da da da. So
they're definitely rich guys with cars. That's yeah. What it is, you know. Right. Yeah. But it's well done and it's interesting. I like car stuff, and there's not, you know, the kind of, there's some definitely BS car shows where they're too intense and oh, we gotta right. do, you know, like I'm not really into that. But this is just, you know, one of their rich buddies brings in an awesome car, and then nice. They talk about it. It's and they're kind of funny. So
nice. Pretty good. Right on. That's like that NPR show, Car Talk.
Oh, Car Talk. You know,
back in the day with like the two brothers who are like, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. You know, your brakes people, are making noise. You better get new brakes.
Yeah, exactly. People would call in and be like, it's making this weird noise. And they'd give them their opinion and stuff. People love that show because it's just that. It's
right. Like, yeah.
Two people who are enthusiastic. And we all can relate to cars because everyone has to have a car, you know, whether you think it's a cool thing or not, you know.
Spike.
Ferris Spike's Steen, Car Radio.
Featuring Jerry Seinfeld and a couple other guys.
Nice.
Yeah, they just do a little. Yeah, it's a good show if you like cars.
Nice. Cool. Right on. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for listening yeah. to the not political radio where we talked about why it's important to be a good person
and not talk about politics
and talking about our trucks. Yeah, right. Politics, not politics. Yeah, I know. It's funny because like that, the whole like, you know, the hockey that led into politics thing really annoyed me, and I was like, we should talk about, like, that's what I said. I was like, we should talk about the Olympics because I want to talk about the hockey and how I love the hockey and how I loved all the fun stuff about how enjoying it was, but how annoying it was when people were like leaning into the yeah, politics.
It's,
like,
it's, come it's on. Just the, it's, you know, that same person is the same people who will try to jump in on your story in the middle of the story.
Right. Exactly. No,
actually, that's not really what you like. Shut up. I'm in the middle of this. Like, that's not important. Stop breaking the story. Me down.
Yeah, stop breaking my
actually,
balls.
Did you know that this is... No, stop.
Well, actually...
Shut your mouth.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, again, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you check out what we're doing on YouTube, because really, like, send everybody over there. Check out our videos. We've got lots of good stuff over there for you to go through. If you're like Ed Clocksamore, who didn't know how much stuff we have in the back catalog, you can listen. We got lots of fun people in the podcast and lots of great videos, so check those out. You can also follow us on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and The Art of Camera Guy to see what's going on. So I'm trying to like keep content up on Instagram all the time, and I've always done that because it's just fun to like show what's happening behind the scenes and little snippets of stuff. So if you're following there, you get some more behind the scenes stuff. And then if you want to support our channel, you can go to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship, and you can support us there. And like we always say, it really does help. When Devin and I started the podcast and started our channel, we felt a little weird about making a Patreon, but then we had some people who were like, you know, people want to support you and want to support people. And if you don't have a way for them to support you, they're going to support somebody else. So if you open up that support, then you'll get some support. And we do have people who have supported us for a long time, and new people. We really appreciate all those people. And the people that support us financially go back in. All that stuff goes back into what we do for the channel and the podcast. So thank you to all those people that support us, and everyone who listens, and everyone who watches the videos. That's what it's all about. And we are part of the maker community, and we love making things, and we love sharing that inspiration and sharing things and putting out good content in the world for people to enjoy and like, no matter what they believe in, because we're all humans and we all enjoy making things and doing things and being part of community. So we're happy to be part of that. All right. Well, there you go. All right, guys. Devin, always a pleasure.
Yeah, brother.
Everybody else, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.